O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Rachel.
I still remember very clearly the first time I traveled to a predominantly Muslim country. During my missionary career, I was able to travel to several places like Egypt and UAE and Indonesia. And on that first time I was in Egypt was in 2006. And I heard go out the Muslim call to prayer. It happens five times a day. The first time is at dawn. I'm still jet lagging from the travel, but there was no sleeping through it. It was loud and unmistakable. An imam at a local mosque was giving the call to prayer over loudspeakers. And as I looked out my hotel window, I could see men in white robes with a hat on walking towards the mosque to go pray. It was a call in Arabic, which I only know a few words of, but it was a call to pray and to witness and to worship. All good things, except it was to a false god who was powerless to hear their prayer and do anything in response. This morning, we are going to continue walking through the book of Psalms, which has been called the songbook of Jesus. And it's a songbook for us today as well. If you think about the book of Psalms, think about the number of pages that it takes up in your Bible. There's over 30,000 words in the Psalms, three times longer than Mark's gospel, more than three times longer than the book of Revelation, and four times longer than Romans. All of this, its size and breadth, just point to the importance of this book in the life of God's people and the importance of worship. So today, we're going to be looking at Psalm 96. So if you've, children, if you've got your Bible, I'm going to be using the Holy Bible for kids this morning. Turn to page 610, and we're going to be looking at Psalm 96. So, Daniel, you got it? Psalm 96. Sawyer, you with us? All right. Psalm 95 is a call to worship. Psalm 96 is like that. Similar. Psalm 96, the same nearly identical words are found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 through 33. We're not going to turn there and look at it, but the context from 1 Chronicles was the placing of the Ark of the Covenant in the new tabernacle that David had pitched in Jerusalem. And the people sang this song, to celebrate God's enthronement as king over his people and over the nations. I think Psalm 96 has a clear focus on God as king. We see this in several places in the Psalms, in this Psalm. Look at verse 6. It says, majesty, splendor and majesty are before him. Majesty is a term of direct address to a monarch, like a king or a queen. We would say, your majesty, as we address them. Look down in verse 8. It says, bring an offering, come into his courts. Kings have courts. They're the extended family of a royal monarchy. And then look down in verse 10. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns. Kings reign. In this case, it refers to God's righteous reign over his people and his sovereign rule over the nation. And so there's a strong theme throughout the Psalms of God's universal kingship. God is the God of the whole earth, not just the God of his people, not just those who have chosen to worship him. And it's an invitation to the nations to not just become his subjects, but to join in the blessings of God's righteous reign over the earth. God wants all peoples of the earth to experience his faithfulness as the good and righteous king. Dane Ortlund, in his devotional, says it this way: this psalm exalts God's supreme rule over all the earth, inviting Gentiles to join his people in celebrating his might and reign. So this morning, I want us to think about Psalm 96 as a call to the nations, a call to the nations to join God's people in worship of the King, a call to the nations to join God's people in worship of the King. And we're going to look at, I think, three important aspects of this call. First, it's a call to worship. Second, it's a call to the nations. And third, there's a call to God's people. So let's think about this call to worship. This psalm is filled with the language of worship. Look at this. In the word sing occurs multiple times, ascribe multiple times, worship, bring an offering, exalt. All language of worship we see in this psalm. Look at verses 1 and 2. Sing to the Lord. Three times we're told to sing to the Lord. And first, I want us to notice we're to sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. As we sing, as we worship, God is our audience, not the people beside us. We are singing to the Lord. And so as we sing, we don't want to do it thoughtlessly. Our thoughts and focus should be on God who we're singing to. And I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I find as I'm singing, I'm mouthing the words, but my mind is somewhere else. As we sing, as I sing, I want my thoughts to be on the Lord, my focus on who I am singing to. This first call to sing to the Lord focuses on what we are to sing. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. This idea of singing a new song doesn't mean we can't continue to sing old songs. But what it does mean is we need to remember that God's mercies are new every morning. And so we continue as God's people to compose new songs that celebrate not just what God has done in the past, but what he's doing in our lives today. Secondly, this second call to sing to the Lord focuses on who is to sing. It says, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Who is to sing? Everyone. All nations, all peoples, all families of the earth. And the third time this is repeated, it says, sing to the Lord, bless his name, telling us why we're to sing. We're to sing to give praise to the God who rightly deserves it. Skip down to the middle of the psalm in verses 7 and 8. It says, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Again, three times we're told to do this, to ascribe to the Lord. We ascribe to him the glory and strength he deserves. And this call goes out to the families of the peoples to join in giving him the glory due his name. And then in verse 8 as well, it says, bring an offering. Our gifts and offerings should be an act of worship. As we give, whether you drop it off at one of the plates by the door or whether you give online every pay period or whether you put a check in the mail, regardless of how you give, our giving should be an act of worship. We should do it saying to God, God, I worship you, I praise you. You are worthy of this offering that I bring. In verse 9, it says to worship the Lord. In verse 12, it says, exalt. All creation is called to worship him in 11 and 12. John Piper wrote a book called Let the Nations Be Glad, and it had a huge impact on me. Early in my missionary career, as I read this book, and it really changed the course of our focus in missions. But I want to read to you just a few words that Piper wrote in Let the Nations Be Glad. He says this, missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. He writes, when this age is over and the countless millions of redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more, but worship abides forever. Piper goes on to say, worship has always been the fire and that fuels our passion to reach the peoples who do not know the true God through Jesus. So worship is both the goal, we're calling people to join us in worshiping God, and it's also the fuel for missions as it gives us an increased passion to want to tell others about Jesus. So there's this call to worship. I also want you to see a call to the nations. This psalm leaves no doubt that this call to worship God as King is not just to his people. The call is to the nations, to all people everywhere at all time, to those outside of the community of faith, to share in the blessings of the kingdom. Look at the different ways those outside of God's family are described in this psalm. In verse 3, and then again in verse 10, it says, the nations. In verse 3, 5, 10, and 13, it says, all the peoples. In verse 7, the families of the peoples. In verse 9, all the earth. And in verse 10 and 13, the world. Clearly, there's a call to the nations, to those outside of the community of faith, to acknowledge his reign as king and to worship him. So why do the nations need to worship God as king? Well, the text tells us. It says, because what they're worshiping now is futile. The psalmist rightly declares, in verse 5, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. The gods of the peoples are voiceless, they're powerless. But in contrast to their gods, the psalmist says, but the Lord made the heavens. I've heard Pastor John say many times, we are created to worship. Worship is hardwired into each one of us as human beings. So the question is not whether we are worshiping. The question is, what are we worshiping? Or who are we worshiping? The nations are worshiping something. It's just that they aren't worshiping the one true God. As a church in Roanoke, Virginia, in the Bible Belt, I think we need to be reminded from time to time about those living in darkness. The worship of actual physical idols can be more clearly seen when we go on mission outside of this country. We see people bowing down to and offering sacrifices to man-made objects of worship. We saw it many times as we took the gospel to the river people in China. We witnessed firsthand their animistic practices where around certain old trees or simple structures made to house their deities where people were offering sacrifice, where they were burning incense, where they were bowing down. We've seen it as we've taken the gospel to the Muslims in Marseille, France, people worshiping a false god trapped in darkness. But not only do we go to see it, the nations are also becoming our neighbors. They are coming to us. Just 4 miles from where we sit right now, out Cotton Hill Road, is a Hindu temple. The Shantani Katan Temple has been a place of worship in Roanoke since 1999. According to their webpage, they ordered marble statues of deities from Jaipur, India, and had many well-wishers there who provided tremendous support and paid attention to the detail of each deity to ensure it was flawless, beautiful, and effulgent. The nations are our neighbors. People from all over the world are living on our streets. They're in our dorm rooms. They're in our apartment complexes. Our children are in school and doing other activities together. They're also making significant contributions to our community. I want to give a shout out to our Good Neighbor team, which is doing a great job working together with the Friendship House to build relationships with refugees coming into the Roanoke Valley. As they're coming in, most are bringing their religion with them, and they're bringing their false gods with them. But there's a tremendous opportunity for us to build relationships with them and to share the good news with them. Though the nations need to pay attention to their deities, as was on the Hindu temple's website, we have a God who pays attention to us. We have a God who cares about us, who takes the initiative to come to us. So let's share the good news with the nations who have become our neighbors. Many of you know Mike and Joy Wright. They have been a tremendous example in this. They noticed a group of women that would walk by their house every evening. And so Mike and Joy saw them, and they would try to go out and talk to them, but by the time they got out of their house, the women were already down the street. So Mike and Joy decided, we're just going to wait outside. We know about the time they come by, so we're going to wait outside, and they did, and they were able to engage them. They offered them water, invited them into their home, and though the women don't speak much English and Mike and Joy don't speak Dari, they were able to begin to develop a relationship, begin to develop trust. The women brought them a meal and they shared it together. And Mike and Joy are helping them to get connected to an ESL class through the Friendship House and get connected to opportunities to hear the gospel. Well done, Mike and Joy. One final thought on idols. It's easy to think that we and the people around us don't struggle with idol worship because we don't see them in the same way. However, the struggle for Western people is just as real. It's just that our idols look different. We have idols of the heart. An idol is anything, whether good or bad, that has become an ultimate thing. If our careers, our jobs, our homes, our cars, even our children or grandchildren become an ultimate thing, something that we can't be happy without unless we have it in the way we demand, they become an idol. As an idol, they take God's place as king on the throne. And like the idols of the people, they're worthless. They're not worthy of our worship. So there's a call to worship, a call to the nations, but there's also a call to us. There's a call to God's people. God reminds, as God calls the nation to worship him, he gives us responsibility. We join God in calling the nations to worship him. Seven times in this psalm, we're instructed to tell the nations that God is their king and to join in worshiping him. Look at verse 2. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament that was used in Jesus' day, this word tell is where we get our word in English, evangelize. Charles Spurgeon, the great 19th century preacher, called Psalm 96 a grand missionary hymn. Indeed it is. We, God's people, are compelled to share the good news of God's reign with all the peoples of the earth. We are called to invite them to join us in praising God. Proclaiming the good news to others, spreading the gospel, is one way that we praise God. I can praise Stephanie by telling her she's awesome. I could also praise her by telling you she's awesome, and she is. Both telling her and telling others are forms of praise, and the same is true with God. As we tell others about this great God that we worship, and that we serve, we are praising him. Look at verse 3. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Why do we send out missionaries? Why do we send people from this church to go to far off places like Marseille, France? We go and we sin because God has commanded us to. God says, declare his glory among the nations. And we join God in issuing this global invitation to the peoples to join us in worshiping God. God uses us. God uses his church to call the nations to himself. Very intentionally, as we renovated this space and added the commons out here, we added a world map and the words from Psalm 96, verse 3, to the wall just outside these doors. I hope they're a reminder to you. I hope that each time you walk in these doors to worship, you'll be reminded to invite the nations to come with you to worship God. I hope that each time you leave, each time you walk out and you see those words, you'll be reminded to go and to declare his glory among the nations. Look down at verse 10. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns. The world, yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. We are to speak words of truth. We are to voice the gospel. During Serve Roanoke, we tried in many places and in many ways to demonstrate the gospel in our actions. But we know it can't only be our actions. Our tangible love for this community and our neighbors must be accompanied by words. Why are we serving our community? Because the Lord reigns. Because Jesus is king and he is worthy of worship. Because we want others to believe the gospel as we have. So as we served, we took every opportunity to share the gospel in words. When we were asked why we served, we tried to explain that it was because the gospel has changed us and we want to offer that same good news to others. Remember that call to prayer that I experienced in Egypt. It was in Arabic. I want you to hear a basic translation of what was being broadcast. The words were, God is the greatest. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except God. I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God. Hasten to prayer, hasten to security. God is the greatest. There is no God but Allah. The message that we proclaim is very different. We go among the nations to declare the Lord reigns. Jesus is the King. The one and only Savior has come. He lived a life that we could never live. He died the death that we deserved. He rose and conquered sin and death and hell. He will come again. He will come again to judge the world. So we say to the nations, call upon Him, trust in Him, find salvation in Jesus today. That is the call that we proclaim. Again, going back to what Piper said, missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is the fuel and goal of missions. When vibrant worship fills our hearts with joy, we can't help but to let that joy overflow to others and share it with everyone we meet who doesn't know Jesus. Our joy in the Lord should compel us to want to add worshipers to the chorus of those praising our great King, as Carrie said in his prayer. So as we go, as we pray, as we give, as we send, we're aiming at one thing, global worship of King Jesus. We say to the river people in China, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. We say to the Muslims in France, the Lord reigns. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. As families and peoples and nations turn from their idols, from their false beliefs, their pride and self-glory, the whole earth rejoices. Look at the closing verses of this psalm. Let the heavens be glad, in verse 11. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then all the trees of the field shall sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes. All creation is glad that the nations are joining in worshiping King Jesus. Christians are a singing people. We always have been. God has put a song in our heart. He has given us a new voice. But we can't sing alone. We must not sing alone. We invite the peoples and the nations of the earth to join us in song. Several times on the mission field, I was able to participate in a church service that had multiple peoples all singing and praising God in different languages. It was beautiful to hear those different voices all around me. And sometimes it was so overwhelming that I just had to stop. I couldn't sing anymore. I was just overwhelmed hearing these different voices praising God, because I knew it was a foretaste of what was to come. Revelation 5:9 gives us a preview of that. It says, worthy are You to take the scroll, to open its seals, for You were slain, and by Your blood You ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. The nations today that are shrouded in darkness will one day sing a new song with us. They will worship King Jesus as a result of the light of the gospel that You share with them. So let's be a church. Let's be a church that gladly receives the call to take the gospel to the whole earth, inviting others to worship Jesus. So let's continue to pray. Let's continue to give. Let's continue to go. Let's continue to send. Let's declare His glory among the nations together.